Let's begin our service opening our Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And we'll begin our reading in verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And we'll end our reading there.
You would turn to 126. 126. Sing the first, second, and fourth verses only.
I shall see
him face to face and tell the story saved by grace. And I shall see him face to face and tell the story saved by grace. Someday my earthly house will fall. I cannot tell how soon 'twill be, but this I know, my all in all has now a place in heaven for me, and I shall see him face to face and tell the story saved by grace. And I shall see him face to face and tell the story saved by grace. Someday till then I'll watch and wait, my lamp all trimmed and burning bright, that when my Savior opes the gate, my soul to him may take its flight. And I shall see him face to face and tell the story saved by grace. And I shall see him face to face and tell the story saved by grace.
Now, if you would, open your Bibles with me to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. We'll begin our reading in verse 21. Philippians chapter 1. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which he saw in me, and now here to be in me. Thank God for his word. Let's bow together in prayer. Our great, holy, sovereign, just and merciful Heavenly Father, Lord, we bow in your courts this evening. We bow before your throne, daring only come into your thrice holy presence in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we bow a thankful people. How we thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. How we thank you that you'd send your own Son into this world to be made flesh, that he might redeem sinful men and women such as we are. Father, we're thankful. We're thankful for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ that you've given to us. Thankful for the gospel you use to call us to Christ, to call us away from self and sin and the world and cause us to come to Christ. And thank you for this gospel that feeds and comforts and instructs and edifies your sheep, the gospel of Christ. Father, let us be completely taken up with, completely in love with and adore the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that every service, but for this service, let his name ring out. Let the glory of Christ our Savior reign supreme, that your people might look to him, that we might find our all in all in him, that we might leave here this evening rejoicing in Christ our Savior, rejoicing in him, resting in him, full assurance of faith. Father, I thank you for this place that you've given to us. I thank you for this family of believers that you've gathered together. Father, I pray you bless each one. Bless each person, each home. Bless us with your presence. Bless us with your grace and your mercy and your leadership. Father, for those that you brought into the time of trouble, that are heartbroken, sorrowing, sick and hurting, Father, we pray for them that you would give them a fulfillment of your promise that you'd not leave nor forsake your people, but comfort the hearts of your people until you see fit to deliver and bring out. Father, we thank you for our children. Thank you for all these little ones that you've given to us. And Father, we pray for them. We pray that you would protect them from this wicked generation in which they grow up. But above all, Father, as you protect their bodies and their minds, have mercy on them. We beg mercy on their souls. Cause us to be faithful to them, to always preach Christ to them, point them to Christ, to teach them the scriptures that are able to make them wise unto salvation. All these things we ask, Father, and we give thanks in that name which is above every name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
When my life's work is ended and I cross the swelling tide, when the bright and glorious morning I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side. His smile will be the first to welcome me. Oh, the soul-thrilling rapture when I view his blessed face, and the luster of his kindly beaming eye. How my whole heart will praise him for the mercy, love, and grace that prepare for me a mansion in the sky. Sing it with me. I shall know. I shall stand, I shall know him, I shall know him by the print of the nails in his hand.
the dear ones in glory, how they beckon me to come, and are parting at the river, I recall to the sweet bells of Eden. They will sing my welcome home, but I long to meet my Savior first of all. Through the gates to the city, in a robe of spotless white, he will lead me where no tears will ever fall. In the glad song of ages, I shall mingle with delight, but I long to meet my Savior.
If you would, open your Bibles with me tonight to Psalm 116. I've titled the message this evening, A Precious Death. My subject should be of great interest to everyone who's here this evening, because all of us will deal with my subject sooner or later. Very soon, we will deal with the death of a dear loved one, and very soon we will deal with our own death. My subject should also be of great interest to you and to me, because our text teaches us a truth that is absolutely contrary to everything the flesh thinks about death. My text is Psalm 116, verse 15. Precious, precious, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Our text says that the death of a believer is precious. We tend to think of death as a curse, don't we? But for the believer, it's precious. It's precious to the Lord. Recently, Janet and I were at the funeral visitation of a high school friend that we have kept in contact with over the years. And at that funeral visitation, this friend asked me, "How do you do this?" She said, "You deal with death every day." I said, "I do. I deal with life and death every day." "You're right." She said, "How do you deal with that?" And I tried to explain to her, as the short of the time as I had, about the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, that I spend my time praying and seeking a message from God that would point God's people to Christ. Because if they'll see Him, if they'll believe Him, they'll never die. And when their body dies, it will be sad. But I'll have a lot of hope. We'll be filled with joy, too. And I tried to explain that, how that could be precious. But every death is not precious. The death of a rebel is not precious. The death of one who has refused to believe on and bow to our Lord Jesus Christ, that death is not precious. It's heartbreaking in every way. Those are tough funerals. Tough, tough funerals. But the death of the believer is precious. It's precious to the Lord. It's precious to the believer who has died too. But now we're going to deal honestly with each other on this matter of death. The death of our loved one is not precious to us. Even when we're confident that they had a good hope, the sorrow that our flesh feels is so great, it's really difficult to call what we're feeling precious at that time. We miss our loved one. We miss talking to them. We miss doing things with them. Janet's just gone out of town today for 2 days, and I already miss them. This is, we miss them. We miss them. And we are thankful. Now, you make these two contradictory statements. Both can be true. We're heartbroken. We're so sorry. But we're thankful. We are thankful that our loved one has been taken out of this body of sin, and they've gone to be with the Lord. They've seen the Lord face to face. They're at perfect rest, perfect peace. They've been glorified. They've been made just like Christ, and we would not bring them back if we could. And if we would bring them, if we could bring them back, they wouldn't talk to us anymore. They'd be so mad at us. We wouldn't want to bring somebody back from that. We're thankful. Oh, we are thankful. But it's still hard with the mixed emotions that we feel to say that the death of our dear husband or wife or our dear loved one, it's hard to say that death is precious to us. And you already know, if you've dealt with death, about everybody here has dealt with death often enough to know, you already know, I can't say anything to you tonight that will take away the sorrow we feel when our dear loved one dies. But I can show you from the Word of God why we don't sorrow as others which have no hope. I want us tonight to look at what God's Word has to say about the death of His saints. See if we can't learn why their death is precious to the Lord. You see, the Lord sees things differently than we do. The Lord sees everything from a totally different perspective than we see it. And the way the Lord sees things, that's the way it really is. The Lord looks at things in light of eternity, not the small dust of the balance of this life. He looks at things in light of eternity. And if the Lord would be pleased to teach us a little bit about how the Lord sees these things, how He sees the death of His saints, I promise you we'll find some comfort when our loved ones die who know the Lord and they depart from this world. Now, this word precious the psalmist uses, it means valuable. The death of a God's saint is valuable. It means prized. It's something to be prized. It means weighty. It's a weighty matter, the death of one of God's children. And the word means splendid. It's a splendid thing. I want to show you 8 ways that the death of a believer is precious. And the death of the saints is precious because of other things that the Scriptures call precious. First, I want you to look at Psalm 49. We'll just take them in the order in which they appear in God's Word. Psalm 49. Here's the first thing. The death of a believer is precious because their redemption is precious. Psalm 49, verse 8. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever. Verse 7 says, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give God a ransom for him. None of us can do that, but God did. And he calls that redemption, the redemption of their soul, precious. See, when the body of a believer dies, the believer doesn't die. Their body does, but they don't die and lose their life. Because David said in Psalm 103, verse 4, God has redeemed thy life from destruction. He's bought it back so your life cannot be destroyed. And God has redeemed the life of His people with the precious blood of God's own Son. Their redemption was bought with the blood of God. Isn't that what Peter told us in 1 Peter 1, verse 19? That we're not redeemed with corruptible things, but we're redeemed with what? The precious blood of Christ. The redemption that the Son of God purchased with His own blood can never be lost. The price paid for it is too high. Precious blood. And this we know. If God crucified His Son for your sin, you can rest assured He'll never let you die. There's no reason that He would. Your sin has been gone, taken away by the sacrifice of Christ. God's not going to kill you and Christ for the same sin. That would be unjust. Because Christ's death is precious enough to redeem your life from destruction. Right now, look at Psalm 72. Here's the second thing. The death of the believer is precious because their blood is precious to God. Psalm 72, verse 14. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in his sight. Now you know all of God's children are precious to him. He said in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 4, since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I've loved thee, therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. He said, I've destroyed whole countries for my people. I've destroyed Ethiopia and Seba for my people. Because God's people are precious to him. And everything, every detail about them is precious to the Father. Their lives here on this earth are precious to God. They're precious to him. Everything that happens to them is important to God. Our Lord said, whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it's better for him that a millstone were hanging about his neck and he were cast into the sea. That's how much, you just offend one of my little ones. That's how much they matter to him. And their trials and tribulations and persecutions and what they suffer in this flesh matters to our God. And our Heavenly Father is downright happy when it's time for him to put an end to all of our suffering here below because of our sin. And bring us out of the cesspool of this world and bring us home to be with him. To bring us into perfection. It makes him happy. That day is precious to the Father. Now, we know we'll be satisfied when we awake in glory in the likeness of Christ. We know that. That day, we say these words, but we really don't know the full meaning of them. To awake in the likeness of Christ will be joy unspeakable. And full of glory. That'll be precious to the believer. Oh, how we long for that day. And it will be precious to our Father too. It'll make him happy because the blood of his people, their life, their death, is precious to him. All right, thirdly, look at Psalm 139. The death of a believer is precious because of God's thoughts toward his people. Psalm 139, verse 17. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. Now, God's thoughts of his people are precious thoughts. God's thoughts of his people, first of all, are precious to his people, aren't they? It's precious to me that God would even think on the likes of me. I mean, that God would think on me? That's precious to me. It's precious to me that God would think to choose to save somebody like me. That God would think and he would accomplish my salvation, that he would save me by the sacrifice of his son. It's precious to me that God would think upon me and on purpose call me by his gospel and give me faith to believe his son. It's precious to me to think that God thinks to preserve me. He thinks to protect me and lead me and guide me. He thinks to provide everything that I need. Those thoughts are precious to me. They're precious to the believer. And God's thoughts of his people are precious to him too. You know, we are so happy when the Lord brings blessings our way. We see that the Lord has blessed us. And I think that there is just some way in the back of our mind we think, okay, I see what the Lord's thinking here in his blessing to me. Because he's promised to bless his people. And I'm thankful. But what about when the Lord brings trouble our way? Sorrow, heartache, the loss of a dear loved one? It's really hard to see how the Lord's blessing in that trial, isn't it? Hard to see. Sometimes we think, why did the Lord do this? Well, I know he has got a purpose in it, but why did the Lord do this? What's the Lord thinking in this? Well, our Lord told us in Isaiah 55, verse 8, when we think like that, he said, you remember this. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now look, hold your place here, because we're coming right back to Psalm 139. Look at Jeremiah chapter 29. Even in times of trial, heartache and sorrow, and those things don't happen because God's forgotten his people. God still is thinking upon his people at that time. Even at those times of heartache and sorrow and difficulty, God's thoughts toward his people are still precious. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. You got it? For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. They're thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. God's thoughts of his people are precious to him because his thoughts are always bringing his people closer to coming home with him. God's thoughts of his people are always bringing his people closer to an expected end. Every believer has the same end. It's to be glorified with the Lord Jesus Christ. You can expect that. It's not presumption to expect it because God promised it. That's God's thoughts toward his people, to bring them to this expected end. So back to Psalm 139. That's why David can say here in Psalm 139 verse 18, if I should count them, these precious thoughts, if I should count all these precious thoughts, they're more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. When the moment this body dies in this life, the moment that happens, the believer's eyes awake in glory. And every child of God is going to say, huh, I went to sleep on the earth and I woke and I'm still with the Lord. You're going to open your eyes to look in the face of the Savior himself. You'll say, welcome home. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Oh, God's thoughts are precious, aren't they? Precious. To find that I am still with God, except now perfectly. That's the expected end of every believer. Mighty precious, isn't it? All right, now, if you would, turn to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 5. Here's the fourth thing. The death of a believer is precious because the Word of God is precious. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1, we read that the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. And same thing's true today. The word of the Lord is precious. And look what our Lord says in John chapter 5, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. He that heareth my word and believes it. See, the believer who died didn't really die, did they? Their body did, but they didn't. They've already passed from death unto life. And when this body dies, all they've done is lay down this body of death. And that's what this flesh is, this body that we're in. It's a body of death. And when they lay that down, now they're living. I mean, they're living. Living like you and I cannot imagine. God gave them that because they believed his word. His word that was precious. His word. This word, if something that's precious is rare, this word is the only place you'll find out how God saved his son. It's the only place Christ the Savior is revealed. It's the only place life is revealed. There is life in believing the Word of God. Philippians chapter 2, verse 16, Paul calls it the Word of life. There's life in believing this Word. And if you believe this Word, you don't have to understand it all. Even if you don't understand, you read some, so, well, I believe that. I mean, I can't explain that, but I believe that. You find yourself doing that, that's your assurance God's given you eternal life. Believing this word gives eternal life. And death is precious for anyone who believes this life-giving word. All right, now look at the book of 1 Peter. Here's the fifth thing. The death of a believer is precious because of precious faith. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, faith in Christ is precious. It's valuable. It's a splendid gift of God. Faith in Christ. It's faith in the precious Lord Jesus Christ. It's faith in Him. Now, our bodies still must die because of sin. But no believer who has faith in Christ will ever die. Will never die the second death. There is therefore now no condemnation. No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who are in Him by faith. Now, we know that. That's a theological fact that I'd say everybody here would say, yeah, I believe that. I see that. I agree with that. That no believer will ever die the second death. Well, the Lord's going to bring us to the place where the rubber meets the road, and we learn what that means. He did that with our sister Martha. Remember when our Lord told Martha, she's outside the tomb of her brother Lazarus, she's brokenhearted. And Martha was trying to find some comfort. She tried to comfort herself with some true doctrine, with a true statement. She told the Lord, I know my brother will rise again. I know he will. In the resurrection of the last day, I know that. Somehow I suspect that wasn't comforting her heart too much. It's true, but I suspect it wasn't comforting her heart all that much. And then our Savior gave her something better. He said, Martha, I am the resurrection. You're not looking for an event out there in the future. I'm right here, Martha. I am the resurrection. Martha, I am the life. I'm the life. He that believeth in me, he that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Martha, believest thou this? Hurricane Road Grace Church, believest thou this? Do you believe this, huh? If you do, you'll never die. If you believe Christ like that, you'll never die. And before they went to our Lord, had to tell his disciples, Lazarus isn't dead anyway. He's just sleeping. His body is resting in sleep. And that's all death is to the believer. It's rest and sleep. Jan and I, after the service Sunday, we drove and met our kids in Moorhead and ate, and we came back home. And I normally like to take a Sunday afternoon nap. And by this time, about 4:30, you know, I thought maybe I shouldn't take a nap. Oh, boy, I did. That felt good. I mean, it felt good. That's all death is to the believer. It's rest. Rest. Lazarus is living. He's living with Christ. And that's precious. See, the death of this body is, for the believer, is not death at all. The death of this body for the believer really is the start of life. Life that is so splendid, it's so prized, it's so valuable, we can't imagine it on this side of it. We just can't imagine how glorious it is. All right, now look at 1 Peter chapter 2. Here's the sixth thing. The death of a believer is precious because Christ is precious. Now here's where it all hinges. Everything I've said before, I'm going to say the rest of this message, all ends is right here. The death of a believer is precious because Christ is precious. 1 Peter 2, verse 7. Unto you, therefore, which believe, He is precious. Unto you which believe Christ, the word there is preciousness. He is preciousness itself. The Lord Jesus Christ is everything that's precious. Would you say life is precious? Christ is my life. Would you say the resurrection is precious? Christ is my resurrection. How about wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption? Christ is that to me. And since Christ is precious, you who believe on Him, I promise you, you will receive the end, the goal, the expected end of your salvation, which is being made just like Christ and being with Him forever. Back in the previous chapter, 1 Peter 1, verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. You're going to receive that and be made just like Christ. That makes the death of the believer precious to the Lord and precious to the believer too. I long to be made like Christ, don't you? I mean, I long. And Sean, I've got no idea what I'm saying. I mean, got no idea. Oh, it's just beyond human comprehension. The glory of being made just like Christ, that day is precious to the believer. To be made instantly like Christ. We're willing, just like the Apostle Paul said, to be absent from this body and to be present with Christ. Buddy, that'll be glory for me. To be present with Christ. I ain't gonna care about streets of gold and pearly gates and big crowds. To see Him. That will be glory for me. The death of the believer is precious. Because at the moment of death, that very moment, the believer is instantly made just like Christ. And then we'll see things like the Lord's seen them all along. And it will be precious to us. That day will be precious to the believer. Because then we'll be like Christ and we will not be like Adam anymore. Mike just sang about the Lord preparing for us a mansion. And you know, you've been well taught that that word mansion means it's a dwelling place. It's not a great big house. You know, everybody's not going to have the $10 million house or whatever. It's not something. I'm talking about a dwelling place, a body. I promise you this. That body we have there is going to be a mansion compared to this shack. It could be a mansion. And then, oh then, we will finally be free from sin. From thoughts of sin, from the effects of sin, we'll be free from sin. We'll be free from every disease and every sickness. No more flu shots. We'll be free from every pain. No more acetaminophen. We'll be free from seeing through a glass darkly. And then we'll see Christ face to face. No more eyeglasses. We'll be free from anxiety, worry, fear, depression, and doubt. No more narcotics. No more commercials with saying, well, we can help you with your anxiety. We're going to cause you 50 other symptoms. No more. As our dear brother Scott Richardson said, no more birthdays. No more birthdays. No more getting older and weaker. To have the dew of youth, just like Christ. Oh, that'll be precious. That's precious. All right, now the seventh thing. Look at 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 4. The death of a believer is precious because of God's precious promises. 2 Peter 1, 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. Now you think about all of God's precious promises. Every promise God's ever made to a sinner is precious, isn't it? God promised to send His Son to redeem His people from their sins, and He did it. Exactly what He did. God promised to send the Holy Spirit to come be the comforter of His people. Our Lord said, if I go away, I'll send a comforter. I'll send the Spirit to you. He'll come and reveal Christ to His people, and He's done it. And you know He's still doing it. He's still revealing Christ to His people. God's given us the promise of life that now is and that which is to come. And He's still giving it, still sustaining it, still giving it. God's made this promise too, and He's going to keep it. To make His people just like His Son. Now here in this life, we've already been made partakers of the divine nature. And when we're given a new nature and the new birth, we've been made partakers of the divine nature. But then it'll be complete. Then that's the only nature we'll have. We're not going to be dragging around this old nature of the flesh anymore. That's God's promise to you who believe. And you can bank on it. Just like Abraham believed God. He believed that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. God's going to perform that. Because all the promises of God are in Christ. See, Christ is precious. It all hinges upon Him. All of God's promises are in Christ. And in Him they're yea and amen. So let's hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Why? For He's faithful to promise. He's faithful. And that includes the death of these bodies. The moment of the believer's death is God's promise to His people. And you know, it's also the very moment our Savior Himself prayed for. Remember there in John 17, verse 24? He prayed, "Father, I will, that they also whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which Thou hast given me." He prayed His people be taken from this world to be with Him. And the Father's going to grant that request. And we have a sick loved one, and we're going to gather around and pray that the Lord heal him, aren't we? We're going to pray that the Lord heal him. And while we're praying that, the Savior may be praying, "Father, I will. I will. Take him home to me." Brother, they're going home. They're going home. Because that's God's will for them. Our Savior personally prayed for it. That's precious. That's precious. And then here's the last thing. Look at Revelation chapter 14. The death of a believer is precious. Because their death is a blessing. It's God's blessing to them. Revelation 14, verse 13. "I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." All the death of the believer is precious because it's a blessing. It's not a curse. I know it's the result of the curse of sin, but it's not a curse to the believer. There is no curse at all in the death of the believer. None. Zero. Because Christ already died, being made a curse for us. He bore the curse away. When Christ died, He took the stinger out of death. Here in the summertime, somehow we get wasps or hornets or something in here. And I can tell when there's one up there because everybody's watching it. You know why you're watching it? That thing's got a stinger. He comes down here and get you. When Christ died, He took the stinger out. Christ took the stinger out. He took it out. There's no harm. So all that's left to the believer is blessing. Blessing. Rest, peace, and joy. The death of the believer is all blessing to them. But that doesn't feel like a blessing to us here who are left behind, does it? No, it really doesn't. We feel sorrow and loss, but it's all blessing to them. It's blessing they finally finished their course. They finally been crowned with righteousness and glory. They finished their course and now they can rest. They had a desire for many years to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Now they have it. Now they're with Him. It's precious. See, it's all blessing to them, isn't it? I hope next time that we face the death of a dear loved one who's died in the faith, had a good hope through grace, the Lord will bring these things back to our minds, our heart. Give us some comfort and assurance. The death of the believer is precious. Maybe we'll be filled with a little less anxiety and a little less sorrow. Because we'll see things maybe a little bit like our Heavenly Father sees them. Now, I don't know what it's like to die. Never died, never talked to anybody who has died. But I can just imagine The death of a believer is like when you have a cast taken off an arm or legs. It had a broken bone, and now that bone is healed. That cast has restricted your movements for weeks, maybe months, maybe months. It's constantly weighed you down. It's so heavy. When you got that cast on, you can't do what you want to do. That cast stops you. Just like sin stops the believer from doing what we would. That's what Paul talked about in Romans chapter 7. What I would, I do not. What I would not, that's exactly what I do. I can't do what I want to do. I can't stop sin. It's stopping me from doing what I want to do. It's dragging me down. That cast is chafed and rubbed. You got sores. You got to stick padding and stuff around that thing. It's rubbing you raw. Isn't that what sin does to this body? Makes it full of wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Last year, many of you all remember, our daughter Savannah was in a very serious car wreck. She had all kinds of medical apparatus on. One of the things she had on was this great big old cast on her hand and arm. And I was there the day it was appointed to have that thing taken off. She was so excited. Oh, my goodness, she was so happy. I got to be the one to drive her down to have her cast taken off. I told her, I've got to put another one back on. I mean, driving that kid home, it was horrible, horrible. Like the believer thinking, oh, I'm finally going to go home. The doctor said, oh, you're getting better. You're getting better. Got to keep the cast on. And then one day the cast comes off. The death of this body must feel like the freedom and the lightness you feel when they remove that cast and you're free. That's precious, precious, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. God help us to see it like He does, to be precious to us. All right, let's bow together. Our Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the instruction in Your Word that teaches us about this matter of death that we cannot know by nature, but only by Your Word and by Your Spirit revealing it to us, to enable us to see the death of this body in the light of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's already died for His people, who's already given Himself a sacrifice, a ransom to redeem His people from their sin, who's already died the death that we deserve, so that all that death is for the believer is graduation day, to leave here and to be with Him. Father, I pray that You'd apply Your Word to our hearts, that You'd cause us to see Christ our Redeemer, how He's died for us, to deliver us from death, to deliver us from sin, to deliver us from every effect of sin. Cause us to rejoice in Him, to rest in Him, to hope in Him, to have our hearts thrilled at the thought, the sound of His gospel. Father, how we thank You. Pray, we pray, Father, that You would apply this word to our hearts and bring it to our remembrance when we need it, to know that the death of Your dear children is precious. Father, it's in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and for His glory, we pray and give thanks. Amen. All right, Mike, you lead us in a song, if you would.
You would, let's stand and sing 456. 456. We'll sing verses 1, 3, and 4. So precious is Jesus, my Savior, my King. His praise all the day long with rapture I sing. To Him in my weakness for strength I can cling. For He is so
so precious to me. I stand on the mountain of blessing at last. No cloud in the heavens, a shadow to cast. His smile is upon me, the valley is past. For he is so precious to me. For he is so precious to me. For he is so precious to me. 'Tis heaven below my Redeemer to know. For he is so precious.